but I really enjoy the seasons in this country. I find myself that each one lasts just long enough. Just as you seem to get fed up with one, it changes into another. You go from winter to spring, spring to summer, summer to autumn, and then autumn back to winter again. Now, if you ask me to name a favourite, well, I think I'd be hard pressed to name a favourite. But if you push me, I think it would be either spring or autumn. As if you look around spring or autumn, the colours of the plants, the trees and the shrubs, they are truly amazing, brothers and sisters, and they bear witness to the wonderful handiwork of our loving Father in heaven. Very appropriately, not only did Brother Tim sum it up really in his prayer this morning, but also in his choice of his first hymn, "My God, How Wonderful Thou Art." For God, brethren and sisters, is truly amazing. And if you get the opportunity, I don't know, this afternoon perhaps, or in the next few days, to go out and have a look around, just glance at these trees and shrubs and plants and the birds of the air and the butterflies and all the creatures, they are truly an amazing creation by our Heavenly Father. Well, here we are, 26th of July. We must be close, mustn't we, to the height of summer. And it's not such a bad day today. So we must be close to the height of summer. Now, I know this next bit does not apply to all of us. So I'm sorry about that. But I will say that the problem with having a garden, whether large or small, at this time of year, and in fact, probably at any time of year, are weeds, brethren and sisters. Now, we talk about the serpent being subtle in the Garden of Eden. I think weeds have their own subtlety as well. In some cases, brethren and sisters, I'm not sure of the difference between certain flowers and weeds. And Sister Carol justly, I suppose, accuses me of pulling up the wrong ones. Now, I see all these things before my eyes, but I am guilty of taking it all for granted. Because the growing process is really quite involved. For plants to produce their best, they have to have the right conditions. For example, water, for instance. If a plant doesn't get enough rain, it will, through lack of moisture, just wilt and die. On the other hand, if it gets too much water, the roots can rot. Now, the analogy is clear for us, isn't it? If we ourselves don't regularly take the water of life, God's word, we will just wilt and die, being drawn away by the things of this life, by the world. But it's a daily amount that we have to take. I have heard it said that if we actually take too much, if we're just reading the word all day and studying all day, we are capable of drowning in it because we're not then doing the other things that are required of us. And those things concern, don't they, the needs of brothers and sisters and those who we come into contact with in our preaching of the word of God. Now, water's one thing, yes, but plants also must have light for growth. And they get their, plants get their energy from light. I was reading up on it, and I understand it's the word is photosynthesis. That's what how they get their energy from light. And normally, without light, again, a plant would just wither and die. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Without his example, his teaching, his commandments, and his sacrifice that we're remembering today, we would have no hope of life. There's only death in darkness, and this world, brethren and sisters, is clearly full of darkness. So there's two things, two vital things, very important things for growth. One is water and one is life. But there's a third, which can be equally as important, and the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of it in Matthew's Gospel record and the 13th chapter. If we turn to Matthew 13 and read from verse 3. Where we read there, Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But, he says, verse 8, other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Now, this, brethren and sisters, is probably a parable that we have read many, many times. And we know, if we carried on reading, we know Jesus gives the explanation, doesn't he? But we just want to look, really, at the conclusion. Verse 23. What does Jesus say there? Well, he says, He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, and beareth fruit. In fact, we won't turn to it, but Luke actually, in his account, adds a little bit extra. He says it's those men and women of an honest and good heart. They are the ones who keep the word. They are the ones who live their lives in the right environment, the right conditions. They are the ones, says Jesus, who not only produce fruit, but it's good fruit. And Jesus said some 60, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Well, I don't know who's on today. I don't know if Brother Darius is on today, but if you are Brother Darius, well, it was wonderful on Thursday evening to witness on Zoom your baptism into the family of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But baptism was the first step. It's the germinating of the seed, as it were. But now you, along with all of those who have been baptized, we all must grow, mustn't we? We all must grow and we all must produce good fruit throughout our probationary walk that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. So the advice is really to daily take in that water of life from God's word, bit by bit, to let the light of the Lord Jesus Christ guide your ways, his example, his teaching, and of course, to stay in the right environment, in the family of God and of Christ. And if you need help, Brother Darius, along with the rest of us, you should call on your fellow brethren and sisters. Just like plants, we are all in a growing process in the truth, growing to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our ways. If we turn back just back a few pages to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us some warnings. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus says here, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly," Jesus said, "they're ravening wolves." He said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so," says Jesus, "every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Well, Jesus is talking about, isn't he? He says, ravening wolves, false teachers. And that's not us, is it? I always find Sunday a very easy day. You know, we're always, even at this present time, we're still surrounded by brothers and sisters. But of course, what are we like the rest of the time when we're out in the world? Does Christ's words take priority then? Well, we remember, don't we, that when Jesus was journeying to Jerusalem with his disciples, it was just before he was arrested and crucified. We're told that he came upon the fig tree, a fig tree. And at the time, Jesus was hungry. Now, the fig tree, it had leaves. So those leaves indicated that it had fruit. But when Jesus looked on inspection, it had none. It was a pretense. It gave every indication, but it produced no fruit. Well, we have to ensure, don't we, that our walk is not a pretense. Jesus says, doesn't he, in verse 17 there, "A good tree brings forth good fruit. Our fruit, brethren and sisters, that we produce has to be good." Have you ever bitten into an apple or a plum to find that it's rotten inside? I mean, you'd spit it out straight away, wouldn't you? So verse 20 tells us, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." We will be known, brethren and sisters, by our fruits. It's what we say. It's what we do. And those things actually can be known by many. But it's only God and the Lord Jesus Christ that also know the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Remember those men and women who were to bring forth good fruit in an honest and good heart, says Jesus. Well, shortly, brethren and sisters, we're going to once more share the emblems of Christ's death and resurrection, his perfect sacrifice. And of course, on a day like this, we're going to examine ourselves, aren't we, against his example. Every single day for us, brethren and sisters, not just today, but every single day for us is an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity for us to produce good fruit, which is meat for repentance, so that we can be accounted as part of the righteous in that day of our Lord's return. If you turn back this time to the Psalms, and we go to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, and beginning at verse 12. Now the psalmist writes there, he says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The righteous shall grow as the cedars of Lebanon. And I've been looking up on the internet, brothers and sisters, different things about cedars, and it's quite fascinating, really. It's stated in one place, it said the tree can grow to between 80 and 120 foot tall. That's quite high, isn't it? And it said that the roots can go 20 feet down into the ground. The cedars, brethren and sisters, are deep rooted, and they're quite amazing, really. Another fact that I read up was that the tips of the roots are equipped with a substance that allows it to grow through the toughest of rock to enable it to stand firm. Now, of course, we brethren and sisters, me and Brother Darius, of course, who are beginning your walk before our Heavenly Father, we each of us may have to go through an extremely difficult times. But in the end, we need to be anchored in a rock foundation. I mean, we could say, couldn't we, that even at this present time, we are going through very difficult times, very strange times for each one of us. But we must be anchored in that rock-like foundation. If you keep your fingers in Psalm 92, just flick over to Psalm 104. There's another couple of things there that the psalmist records. It's Psalm 104 and verse 16. The psalmist says, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds of the air make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Well, another interesting fact is that the sap of the cedar tree serves as a natural repellent to harmful insects. And the tree, obviously, provides shelter for the birds of the air. It's 120 foot tall. We, brethren and sisters, must be filled with the word of God, which enables us to withstand that constant infection of the world around us. A constant infection that wants to draw us away, you know, all the time. But we must combat it with the word of God, mustn't we? And we, of course, can provide shelter or help and assistance to our brothers and sisters. Well, back in that 92nd Psalm, the psalmist says there, doesn't he, that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedars in Lebanon. That man or woman in Christ, he or she, will grow straight and upright. And their love of the truth, brethren and sisters, their life in the truth, will be deep rooted in the things of God, and they will produce good fruit. They will live their life in the right way, the way that pleases our Heavenly Father, the way that the Lord Jesus Christ showed us throughout his life, that through the grace of God, that we, brethren and sisters, may share in that wonderful prospect of everlasting life in Christ's kingdom. when our brothers and sisters were going to share once more the emblems amongst us. I was going to finish actually with a word of warning, but I don't think that's appropriate today. I think it's better to finish on a positive note. So let's finish in Paul's letter to the Ephesians and the third chapter. And this is what we must do, brothers and sisters, quite clearly. Paul writes there, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being deep-rooted and grounded in love. And we get that from an understanding of God's word. An understanding of God's word from the example, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, from his teaching and his commandments, and from staying in the right conditions, staying in the truth and holding fast to it. Paul says they're deep-rooted and grounded in love, that, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God knows each of our situations, brethren and sisters, and he helps us. Sometimes may be difficult, but God is always there for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you.